Hey guys, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's podcast, I just want to talk a bit about self-sabotage. That's the topic of the day. I had a listener reach out. You know who you are. Thank you for the email. I appreciate it. Great to hear from, always great to hear from listeners. And I'm just going to dive around self-sabotage because I know it's a big challenge for many dyslexics out there who feel like they're always just beating themselves up and they want to know why. And so I'm just going to share some of the thoughts I have around it. Okay, so let's dive into self-sabotage for dyslexics, ADP with ADHD, neurodiversity. It's all kind of the same thing with a slightly different label, in my opinion, as you'll probably be aware if you've listened to this podcast. We're just all different levels of each of these delightful flavors. So today I just want to jam a bit about self-sabotage because it comes up so often with people I talk to. And, you know, what I sometimes find is I try and dig deeper and deeper with people on what they mean by self-sabotage. And most people, there's not actually like a definition for it, but everyone has 25 stories built up over the years of how they feel like they were finally breaking through something. And then they did something that completely stuffed it up, be it in a relationship, be it at work, be it in health. You know, you think you're on a diet and it's going well, and then you eat a big giant cake and shove it in your face, and you're like, why can't I control myself? Or a relationship, you do something stupid. I've done stupid stuff over the years, which I, you know, in hindsight, was not the best way of doing things, but, you know, there's always a purpose behind it. And I think that's the first lesson with self-sabotage is self-sabotage is a result. It's a leaf on a tree, but it's not the self-sabotage is not the reason why you've self-sabotaged, right? It's always a level or two deeper in your life. And with dyslexia, you know, don't get me wrong, everyone self-sabotages. It's a safety mechanism. It's your deeper self trying to keep you safe. That's all it is. It's nothing more, nothing less. The problem with dyslexia is because we struggle with cause and effect and we get disorientated into different worlds in our head, we really struggle to marry up why we're self-sabotaging sometimes because our brains are so fast, we miss it and we can't really grasp it. So we just feel like we just call it self-sabotage because we have no other way of digging deeper, in my opinion, into the curious consciousness that created it. You know, I've done things that have broke up relationships, you know, that have been stupid and could easily have been called, oh, you self-sabotage, you broke up that relationship. But I guess my consciousness around it nowadays is going, I broke that up because it wasn't the right relationship. It was a good thing. It was my safety mechanism saying, you're useless at breaking up with people. You're going to sabotage this because it ain't working, right? And it happened 2 or 3 times in different ways. And, you know, it's kind of like my subconscious, my internal intuition knew what I needed to do. My consciousness was too scared to do it. So it caused what could be seen as self-sabotage that I destroyed it from a very top level perspective but from deep down it was my whole self going you can be in a better relationship, and I am now, and I'm really happy about that one that's working for me. And I heard this great saying today about relationships: I want a relationship that works, not one that I have to work on, you know. And I thought I kind of like that, you know. You know, what I'm trying to get across in this episode around self-sabotage is there's always something deeper. You know, if you jam food in your face while you're on a diet, you know, what your body is saying to yourself is a diet is not probably the way for a great long-term, you know, health improvement. Maybe it's good for the short term. Maybe if there's a real purpose for it, you can get away with it. But it's not the solution to a life of using food as an emotional crutch. You know, if you've got that built into your map of the world that it's an emotional crutch, and then you go on a diet and day 6 comes around, you've done so well, and then you jam a cream cake in your face, that's there's nothing secret behind that. It can be seen as self-sabotage, but it's actually your body going, this isn't what I want to be doing. This is not safe. This is not being done in a way that's solving the problem, right? So if you're finding, I guess the thing to think about, if you're finding in your life a lot of scenarios where you would say that's self-sabotage, you know, what I'd like you to ask yourself, and I want you to sit with, however hard this can be, is ask yourself, why self-sabotage? Why am I doing this? If that's what I'm going to call this thing, what is beneath the sabotage? Now, I was very lucky for my birthday. I honestly got every present I wanted and didn't know I needed. Little Mila got me some socks. I've got socks with bananas and monkeys on. I need some new shorts because I'm terrible at buying clothes for myself, as many of us are. So I got a voucher for that. I got a voucher for some new headphones because I broke my other ones. And I also got a whiteboard, something I've needed for a little while. And that whiteboard is fantastic because if I need to ask myself one question and I know I'm going to get distracted, like, why did I sabotage that? I can jot that down, and however bad my handwriting is, I can jot it down on either my computer screen or on this whiteboard, and I can sit there with a bit of music on, of course, and look at it. And I'm going to get distracted a few times, but the more I ask myself that question, the more I go, I'm trying to think of a good example of self-sabotage I've had recently. Like, I've had a bunch over in the past. Definitely I've done the food ones, I've done the relationship ones. I've definitely done business ones where I don't get back to people, not because I couldn't, but I think I'm actually, this is actually a good one. Now, as I say, I have a web design company. We're not huge, but we do a little bit of turnover, and when a client needs us, we're always there. We're really good. But when it comes to sales, I've had quite a lot of resistance. And I think I've explained this in another episode of some of the core about it. But one of the, in this particular things is, one of the particular details that's important to self-sabotage is, like, for me to sabotage a sale, I just won't follow people up. I'll just leave it in their hands. I'll tell myself a story that if they really want it, they'll come back to me. Full well knowing that people get busy and they just forget about things, and, you know, it's not you, it's them kind of. I know that from an intellectual level, but I've got this lie going on to myself that, hey, if I just leave it with them, you know, nothing goes wrong. You know, they're not sad because they know I'm here. They don't feel like I'm harassing them. I've created this whole story. But in essence, what it does is it sabotages my sales, right? I'd make more sales if I was chasing people. And people go, oh, don't badger people. But actually, people need badgering. Like, if I really want something and I forget about it and someone doesn't follow me up 10 times, I might not get it. I would never have worked with Vanessa around my dyslexia. The podcast would never have been started. Nothing would ever have been done if I hadn't been followed up 10 times. And I'm very grateful that I was followed up 10 times. So I know I've got a bad story sometimes around sales that I'm changing at the moment, or I'm working towards, shall we say. But that could easily be construed as self-sabotage. I'm sabotaging my sales. And so what I can do on the board is go, why am I sabotaging sales? And I worked out, it's, do I believe in what I'm selling enough? And the answer was no. I wasn't clear enough on it. And so because I didn't believe in the sale enough, because I didn't believe in what we were selling enough, I was sabotaging deals by not following people up. Now, when I look at the actual information, or the, when I become aware of things around me, we got a huge amount of testimonials. We got happy clients. People love working with me. It's really good. Like, I think we're 4.9 stars on Google. You know, we're doing really well. But for me, I'm telling myself this story. And because I'm telling myself this story, my internal intuition, my soul, whatever you want to call it, this part of me is going, Stephen doesn't really believe in this enough. We're going to keep him safe because we don't want him selling something he doesn't believe in. So if we just don't follow these people up, he doesn't have to deal with it. They're not going to hate him for it. They're just going to forget about it probably. And we'll be safe. And safety is our number one goal. Safety, safety, safety. So that, you know, can you see what I mean by that? It's like it can come across as self-sabotage, but it's actually a deeper meaning, deeper pain that I haven't been able to see. And until I slow down long enough to bring a magnifying glass to it, I'll just think it's self-sabotage for the sake of it. And this is the same with any type of self-sabotage. There's always a layer or two deeper that's causing it. Now, if you can't find that layer, make sure you reach out to a coach. It doesn't have to be someone particularly for dyslexia. I definitely do coaching like this to dig deeper for people who can't see it in themselves. And humans are pretty terrible, right, at actually looking deeper into what is going on. We just can't see it. It's like we're horses with blinders on. We just can't see the stuff that's so obvious to other people. So reach out to a coach or a counselor or someone who will talk to you about it. Someone who knows you, even if you're comfortable with that. But if you're finding yourself continually making the same poor decision, even though intellectually, and this is the key bit, even though intellectually you know the answer, you know, like I know to lose weight, I need to eat less than I go for a run for. You know, it's energy in, energy out. I know this. But if I can't get myself to do it, or I can't understand the way I need to do it for myself, then I need help. I need someone to help me. So feel free to reach out. You'll find it on thetruthaboutdyslexia.com if you need a coach. I'm going to start to do some hourly coaching work. I've had a few people request that recently. So I'm going to put a price up there for hourly coaching. You know, I'm going to make it quite cheap for a while. I've decided I'm going to make it quite low cost for the next, let's be realistic, about a year. I'm going to start a full-on coaching call practice in about a year, year and a half, but I want some amazing testimonials of people I've helped. So if you'd like to support me and come for a session, I'd love it. And just make sure if you do love it, you're willing to give me a bit of a testimonial. I really appreciate them. It makes me feel absolutely super awesome. So yeah, reach out to me on the website and talk to me about that. And I'll be putting some more information up about that. So, and here's to you not self-sabotaging and to looking deeper and to having those slower moments. They're absolutely amazing when you get in touch with them.